jalan, 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 jalan. Oh, well, hello, welcome back. This is My Mate Bought a Toaster. So this week's episode is coming to you live from the London Podcast Festival. It was a wonderful evening, me chatting to Ronnie and Kona. I hope you really enjoy the episode. Stick around, because at the end, I'm going to be revealing who my guest next week is. And this is very good. It's very on brand with Halloween. I've accidentally organised something quite well, which is very unlike me. Anyway, Ronnie Ancona, live at the London Podcast Festival. Do enjoy. It got off to a weird start because the desk was set up a bit like the interrogation scene from Line of Duty. It was an odd beginning, but it got better. Do you like the sort of interrogation vibe that I've created? Because when I came in, they had set the room up in a completely different way.
I did it, okay? I did it.
That's what it feels like.
I do feel a little bit. Can I ask for a lawyer?
For the benefit of the tape, no. You can't. Okay. You can have some warm white wine.
Yes.
In a cheap mug. That's all I can offer you.
Is it like wood alcohol?
What they're doing. Yeah, wood.
Marvellous.
So, Ronnie Ancona, welcome to My Mate Bought a Toaster. First of all, before we actually dive into your Amazon account, how was it going through it? Have you had a sort of look before we've recorded this? Have you had a little look through?
I had a little look and was pretty appalled by the content of my brain, which never ceases to horrify me.
Yes.
You know how everybody says as you get older that you become at peace with yourself? I'm always listening to people going, the one thing, the good thing about getting older and middle age is that you kind of know who you are. No. And after looking through the Amazon, clearly not.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it going, which sad fucker would have thought that?
Well, should we just dive in then?
Should
we just find out who the sad fucker is? So we're going to go right back to 2007, Ronnie Ancona. And the first thing you ever bought on Amazon was Teletubbies and the Snow.
Well, I just felt I needed to advance myself intellectually.
Yes.
I just felt that, you know, I was just getting lax and, you know, it was either that or the Dostoevsky, you know. So, no, Teletubbies and the Snow. You know, because you've got young kids,
yes.
Tom, did you go through the Teletubby stage?
Yeah, it was really bad.
It's like smack for kids. Yeah. I mean, it's like a hardcore mainlining class A drug for kids. They just can't, they were possessed.
Yeah,
they were possessed.
It started off the again thing, which has pretty much ruined generations of parents. Anything nice you do for a child.
Yes.
And they still do it now. My kids are 9 and nearly 6, and they still say, again, you do something fun. And I blame the Teletubbies for that shit. In the olden days, they'd have gone, thank you, Father, goodbye, and left the room.
Yes, there would have been the cold clank of pearls and the waft of Chanel's and going, Mummy will see you. Mummy's going to Paris, and I'll see you in, 5 years' time. The lawyer's sorted it all out. None of this again, get caught again. I swear to God, the Teletubbies and the Snow haunted me.
Yeah.
Haunted me. I can still remember as well. And as you can see from the bottom of my ideas based on your purchase, I was planning a grand crime.
Look at this silver gaffer tape.
Dispose of my children or the Teletubbies. I can't remember which.
Look at these. You've been looking at Sortville convector radiator heaters, right?
Yes.
And puppy training pads.
Yes.
And gaffer tape.
Yes.
What was the plan? To gaffer tape a puppy training pad a fire?
Listen, you're the Amazon expert. Are these things that are offered to you as a suggestion in the great materialistic world that we live in?
Yes.
Somebody has enjoyed a video with a small, strange creature that could look a bit like a puppy. Let's try and sell them puppy pads.
Yeah, that's basically how it works. Mm. Yeah, and Alexa's listening.
So.
Yeah, Alexa's listening all the time. So the Teletubbies, that was your first ever purchase.
Oh, and you by the way, can I just say at this point, there was a guy on the circuit called Dave Thompson.
Yes.
I don't know if you know Dave. Lovely
he was a
Dave. He was a Teletubby. Now, he was the purple one. Which
Does anyone
one
know
he?
Which the name of the purple was Teletubby
I should
was?
Know because
Tinky
I...
Tinky Winky, look at that. Straight off.
I grew up with them.
There you
Tinky
go.
Tinky Winky. Tinky Winky, you're so right. well, Dave was Tinky Winky. And he was very, this was a really good job. I mean, it's a damn good job to get as a job being a comic and an actor. And I was on the circuit around, or was working with him, and he said, and he got fired as Tinky Winky. He was inconsolable because the other person who took over from Tinky Winky, Dave said, he's just got him all wrong. Tinky Winky. It's just not Tinky Winky. It's not how I, you know.
But because of their physicality?
I think he took Tinky Winky in another direction.
Sure.
And they weren't very happy with this.
Good reviews as well of this. Cobweb gave it 5 stars. Yeah, the kids love it.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
An enjoyable
literally,
review, isn't it?
Literally, the kids imbue it.
I just think the word yeah is doing a lot of work in that.
Yeah.
The kids love it.
Yeah.
And then someone else called Karen has given it 3 stars. Jumped a lot in the middle, but watchable. Now, I'm trying to work out if that's because it was a ropey VHS or because the Teletubbies just jumped a lot in the middle of the video. I'm not sure.
It is. There is a particular song from one of those tapes that I just will not forget because my elders just wanted to listen to it again and again. And it became a little bit like a scene from a David Lynch film. It was all a little bit... because if you notice, when they do scary films, you know, there's inevitably there's a nursery rhyme in slightly minor chords.
Yes.
It's like, la, 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 la. And there's... a hologram of girl identical twins or something.
Of course.
La, la, la. It is a fine line. It's a fine line.
But were you, when your kids were watching this, were you the sort of parent who'd sit and watch it with them on the sofa? Or was this a way for you to park them on the sofa and very quickly leave the room?
I think initially I did. Yeah. And then after the 6,000th time, I think I was banging my head against the... Yeah. I think I initially went, this is great!
This is good! The memories
so
we're going to have!
And then after a while, it was, you know...
Okay. All right, enough Teletubbies. Let's move on, shall we? The next item that you bought, in 2008, you got this.
Yes.
Was this, Ruby Wax, How Do You Want Me? Which is Ruby Wax is unflinching revelation of a childhood poisoned and a youth spoiled. Come on, it's in a moving account of her breakdown and recovery. Ruby Wax, she's very back at the moment, isn't she? Everyone adores her.
She is.
I mean, there's an impression that's good news for you, right?
I can bring her back. And the reason I bought this is Ruby said, "Have you bought my book yet?" And I went, "No." She said, "Do it now."
So Ruby. Yes. Now, this is actually before she went into that, you know, her journey with self-help and mental health.
Frazzled
and everything
all those
and
books.
Frazzled,
yeah,
you know. Yeah. It's very interesting. I think Ruby Wax is absolutely hysterical. And I remember a million years ago when I was doing Big Impression with Alice McGowan. And funnily enough, there were some sketches that we did that have now kind of fulfilled the zeitgeist. If you know. So, for example, we did Jimmy Savile as a pervert. I mean, no, I'm actually serious. We did, and because everybody thought of BBC One, they in a way we were slightly left alone because we were very uncool.
Right.
And even when we were hot, we weren't hot. If you know what I mean, we weren't cool when we were hot. This is quite confusing.
I'm very familiar with that.
But
yeah.
We ended up sort of doing quite strange things because everybody presumed that they had to look at the Channel 4 things for edgy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd sort of sneak some sort of quite subversive stuff in. And Alistair was brilliant at doing Louis Theroux. And we were both very interested on, because I adored Ruby. Ruby did these documentaries which were hysterical. I remember watching them and getting back of the classroom giggles. I mean, she was irreverent, she was brilliant, she was anarchic, she was very quick. And she was a real kind of, things have moved on a lot, you know, the way that women are regarded in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It just has shifted hugely. And my work partner at the moment, Sally Phillips, and we talk about this a lot. There's been a lot of sort of changes. And interesting enough, when Louis came on the scene, you know, it sort of stopped. So we sort of invented this kind of meeting of Louis and Ruby in a room, which they had never done until Louis's recent podcast, which Ruby had been on, okay. but we'd sort of bizarrely preempted
it. And was it just endless questions?
No, they were interviewing each other. We had them interviewing each other. And I said to Ruby, I found this old sketch recently. She said, I want to see it. But then I thought, maybe you don't want to see it. I'm not sure. But I adored her. And I remember the producer at the time saying, oh, you should do it because she's really annoying. And I thought, well, no, she's not annoying. She's very quick and very funny. You wouldn't say that if she was a...
No, man.
...guy, really.
It's true, yeah.
And she is... I mean, I have got... She is extremely funny and extremely clever. And I remember her sort of... And it's interesting because she did sort of... And she will admit this herself, you know, she got sort of ousted out of television a little bit, really, or just found herself. And then she sort of reinvented herself. Quite brilliantly, actually.
Yeah. She's back now. She's all over there. She's everywhere now. Like, all her interviews.
I know. She's
such good news
girl,
for you.
The poster girl. Hell. And I quite like the new movie. Yeah.
Because she was a very difficult impression to get. And don't say you still haven't got it. I don't want to. If anybody says that, that would be deeply rude.
But she was difficult. And yeah, when I got her, I was so pleased.
Do you have like a sort of...
quite good. It is good.
Do you have like a sort of top line observation when you go into someone? Is there a phrase that you use a lot to start?
I think there's lots... I mean, I think everybody's a bit different the way they approach it. But a lot of it's got to do with attitude as well. I mean, people always think about, obviously, it's where they come from and where the sound comes from in the back of the head or if it's the front of the mouth or where it comes. But there's also a kind of, there's a sort of, it's getting the emotion and the attitude. I remember thinking with Ruby,
this kind of bravado behind the pain. You know, there's a kind of pain, but it's, you know... It's out, you know, there's, but I mean, you know, Ruby might disagree with that, but it's you grab on to something, you know,
and then certain things they sort of do. Like, you just notice, like, Jennifer, you know, Jennifer Saunders just doesn't open her mouth. I just don't open my mouth. I don't need to. So there's lots of things.
Okay, Ruby Wax then. So that's Ruby Wax.
I love her though, yeah, and I'm a big fan of her.
Yes, actually. She's brilliant. Okay, then moving on, 2011 here.
Yes.
So you bought not one but two copies of the Ultimate Jewish Cartoon Book.
Is that even allowed these days? I don't even know. Am I going to cancel myself?
Probably. Yeah.
Will I cancel myself?
If you can cancel yourself on this podcast, that'd be great for numbers. Thank you.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I don't know what to say apart from
like a squirrel, love
someone
a squirrel.
Recommended this to me. And I...
So you bought two copies.
This is a recurring theme. You'll notice because I'm such a screaming Luddite that I buy intentionally two copies.
Is it because you learned to double-click in the 90s?
It hasn't happened. It's not gone yet. It's not happened. And then before I know it, I bought 34 copies
this
of
is
the
Amazon's
same thing.
Making all their money. You've paid for his rocket
no,
to the
Jesus,
moon.
Jesus, I tell you. Jeff Bezos, I should have shares. Okay, so someone recommend... I am obsessed with Jewish humour, actually. When I say Jewish humour, I mean, you know, I'm sort of have a lot of Jewish heritage myself, but it's not because of that. It's because of the great shtick, you know, the rule of three and the great Jewish comics, you know, the rhythm of it, you know, was so extraordinary. And I think people forget that so much of it is kind of entered into the mainstream.
Totally. Yeah. Absolutely.
And you'd know that. Just looking at the way that the Friends scripts are written, you know, it's got its origins and the kind of timing of the Catskills and,
exactly.
But
exactly.
I can't remember, I do like Jewish humour, but I can't remember. This does look highly incredible.
You can stop squirming. You're uncancelled from that. That was good. That
was
explanation
that,
was
that, okay? that.
No, the audience has just
I'm
become a jury.
I'm of an age. I'm just literally terrified of saying anything. My mum, my daughter's got... Can't say that. She screamed at me in H&M the other day.
What
Can't
did you
say?
What did you say?
Well, I didn't
in
say
H&M.
Something. I think I said something quite bad. I think it was about getting into a changing room, and I said, "Oh, you could pretend that you because you could." Let's not go there.
Yeah.
Let's not go there.
Oh
but
God,
you know that
would
don't. That's
show.
One of the reasons I don't do Twitter as well because I'm so rubbish at saying. I say that. I mean, open mouth. Foot in,
yeah.
in, done.
Twitter's quite
gone.
Dangerous for that.
No. Yeah.
Just retweet. Just do retweets. It's fine.
Retweets.
That's what I do.
Retweet, yes.
Just buy some followers. That's what I've done.
Okay.
All right.
No,
so
look at this.
Look at this. 2012. It's an interesting bunch of things. Again, we've gone double purchasing there. It does tell you everything you need to know about Ronnie Ancona, that on the 31st of January 2012, she bought, how do we say this, gawky wooden flexible puppet, The Family,
yes,
and Naturally Thin, Unleash Your Skinny Girl and Free yes Yourself from yes a Lifetime of Dieting.
Is so, there two copies of that?
Yeah,
oh
of course there are. Yeah. Yeah, she's got two copies of that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I returned it.
Well, yeah, you still have one left.
Okay.
If you return one,
okay,
you still have one left.
So, okay.
Mm.
Okay.
Right. So, Naturally Thin. Do you want
right,
to, I mean, do you want
know,
me to...
You, right, you go first.
Well, I just read the shtick. Free click and click. That's not this. So, this is someone, Bethany Frankel's passion has always been enjoying healthful...
So
healthful. Fucking
time.
Someone feed her some new words. Healthful. What is that word? That's not a real world. Word. Natural foods and sharing that love, whether she was cooking for Hollywood A-listers, launching her successful company, Bethany Bakes. She's quite a fan of not using a space between words, don't you think? Skinny girl.
She's starving. She can't concentrate.
Yeah.
She's so hungry.
Anyway.
She's like, oh, I'm just going to get through this paragraph. And
it's true, she looks exhausted. She's actually holding
she's
on to the end of Finn.
She's so hungry. She needs to support herself.
Please,
she
please
hasn't had a carbohydrate.
It's things like, and this is, I'm sorry, Ronnie, I hate books like this. It shows how anyone can banish their heavy habits. Oh, fuck off. Embrace thin thoughts and enjoy satisfying meals, snacks, and drinks without the guilt. There you are. Go on then. Defend.
Well, I don't listen. This is I don't know how you know how much you're going to go through of my
loads.
Oh dear.
Loads.
Okay, but just to say, this is one of many of self-help books yeah that have been bought and never, ever opened or used in any shape or form. Now, shocking, imagine watching a feature film and there's a character who keeps on getting, like, self-help books and never reads them and just doesn't even touch them and puts them on. And you'd go, that's ridiculous. That's totally incredulous. No one would actually do that. I'm here to tell you. I knew I did it because sort of that someone else said, many people had told me that I did it, but I didn't quite realise that it was so bad. And when I trawled through, I thought the worst thing was I didn't even remember them. I just went, oh, which one was this?
Yeah. Is there a self-help book for people who buy too many self-help books?
That is what... And
what
what's even more appalling, I've just realised, I think there's a grotesquely superficial side of me, actually. I mean, I do think I'm a nice person. I am a nice person, but I do think there's a bit of a horrible superficial side of me.
Okay.
I mean, because we're not looking at improving the mind if we scoop through. It's all about sort of trying to get the bottom to go northwards or
right
something.
It's all about your thin thoughts.
I don't know
what's
what
a thin
it
thought,
is. But
anyway,
to be, I don't know what a thin thought is.
You have a
but
thin
I
thought. If I'm driving
is
down a tight road and the car wing mirrors are close to other cars, I have quite a thin thought. Then, do you know what I mean? I'm trying to make myself thinner, but I can't see how it's going to help me diet.
No, the thing is, I think it's all about, isn't it? It's all about, you know, when you've got brains like ours,
sure,
which is, we'll go on to that,
yeah,
will we? Because we've ascertained we've got virtually a smorgasbord of neurosis going on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's going to be great.
A
yeah
smorgasbord, like a little...
It's live therapy, guys. It's a podcast festival. What did you expect?
I think that basically, you know, there's a bit of kind of, oh, if I free myself from... You know, if I'm in a situation where I can't be self-conscious and I'm sort of, then my brain will think better.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes. Yes.
It's not
totally
convincing.
In
is
the
it?
Act of, but the act of buying it is that's the thing that you think is going to help you. The actual thing you know really deep down is never going to make any
of
difference.
Of course.
Hence why you buy two of them. It's like buying two new pens for school. Okay. All right. Let's move on then. From
that's embarrassing.
Naturally Thin. Good. That's what we like. And then these guys appear for the first time, and this is quite extraordinary.
Oh.
So this is the end of 2012, getting towards Christmas 2012. Little ones in your life at this stage. Yes,
little ones, not mine, but yes, no, little ones. My, lots of little ones. No, little ones. And okay, now this is
should we
quite
explain what they are for the benefit
yes
of the tape?
Okay, now do you know what Beanie Boos are? Does anybody know who Beanie Boos? Okay, Beanie Boos, well, you can see what they are.
Yes.
Small, cuddly
animals
with big eyes.
Yes.
And my little girl became obsessed with collecting them, obsessed. And it initially started with getting sort of little kind of cute, sort of pretty obvious animals like dogs and bears and pigs and things. And then it sort of spiraled out of control. And I ended up spending inordinate amounts of time trying to find a pangolin, obscure Beanie Boos. Pangolin, but a Chinese water deer, Beanie Boo, an aardvark.
Isn't this how COVID-19 started?
An aardvark, Beanie Boo. It became sort of quite obsessed because she became so obsessed with it, and that's all she ever wanted for her birthdays and Christmas.
And when you see her obsessive nature, are you like, oh, that's shit, that's my fault?
Well, you know, strangely enough, I mean, she became very obsessed and adored her sort of Beanie Boos. And then what would happen is at Christmas, I don't want to spoil the surprise for anyone, but at Christmas, Santa Claus would source a Christmas Beanie Boo, which was inevitably just a normal Beanie Boo with a candy cane or a Santa hat on it. Look, I have an example.
Yeah, show us the Beanie Boos. So she's got a bag here, and you can hear, if you listen carefully, you can hear.
This is an example of a Christmas Beanie Boo that popped on top of the the thing. Now look at this. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, this is the sort of mother I am. I sourced a duckbill platypus Beanie Boo, I ask you. Of course, I didn't feed them or put them to bed on time, but I got her this. No.
Wow.
No.
Don't put them back in the bag. Like, no. Can I have a look at the Beanie Boos, please? Can I have a bit, just throw me one just to have a bit of time with the Beanie Boo?
Now, there's a sad story end to this about Beanie Boo.
Look at them. So we've got a little fox. Look at his eyes.
She'd actually kill me.
Okay. So what's the sad story about the?
So this, but the interest, this, the slight sad story was that I became. You see, I'm just a sucker for that.
Tell you what, puppetry on a podcast works well. So go on. So what's the sad story about the Beanie Boos?
So the sad story was that I became quite obsessed about the Christmas thing, about getting the different handwriting and the different, you know, and everything, and would took it to quite some extremes, including reindeer droppings.
Yeah.
And I'd take, what I'd do is I'd kind of smash the house up a bit. I mean, not hugely, because I put myself in an example, is that if you had a rotund gentleman, you know,
in a rush,
stressed out,
places to go, with
12 reindeer coming down, you know, it was not going to happen, you know, without repercussions.
You'd wreck your house, basically.
Well, I did do a little bit of that. There'd be something that would be kind of broken, and there'd be be a fire. There'd be mud all over the place, and I'd put little reindeer droppings.
Please tell me you ate the reindeer droppings in front of the
reindeer droppings down thing. Then I'd come downstairs and I'd go, oh God, oh, that's great. That's great. Oh, Santa, the big guy, eh? Oh, look at this bloody mess. And the girls would come out, they'd go, oh, they've made a mess. It's everywhere. And they'd get incredibly excited, and they absolutely adored it until just that cusp where they got to the age where they came down and went, she's a sad fucker. Who do we call? I could hear them going, there's a child line, there's people, I know there's people we can call. I mean, is this abuse? I don't know. You know, and I'd still be going, oh, look what they've done. And they're like, no, Mom, no, done now, done, over. And actually, because I used to do, write fairy letters, I would do them that all from different divisions of the fairies, and they were all very bureaucratic and officious.
This is Tolkien level stuff.
They'd be inevitably slagging off the other fairy division. So I would have, you know, I would, art school girl, I'd literally sort of bake some papers, and sort of they were all sort of green, like leaf from the fairy, from the field division. Do you know what I mean? And they'd be written in a totally different tautology to this other one. And they'd open them up and they'd really believe it because they'd go, oh, they're really pissed off with the suburban fairies. They're really, you know, and I'd make them all a little bit, Arthur Scott, you know, a little bit, if you persist in writing to the suburban fairy, when in fact our letter was picked up by our field approach, and they loved it, and they believed for longer.
Wow. I mean, that is a big target here, isn't it, to make them believe for longer?
I thought, I'm going to get them to 14 without you.
Yeah, they'll need a lot of therapy, so, but it's worth it.
So, and then, of course, it all finishes, and now the Beanie Boos, all of them, which, quite frankly, I'm just like, is quite a collection and might be worth a bit, I'm just saying. All the collection have been put in a dark trunk and shut away. And those Beanie Boos, that's the first outing that they've had.
Look, they're out again, guys. That's beautiful. They're out. They finally.
They're all in the trunk. They're like little. I saw it. Mummy, it's dark in here.
Just get a little radio.
Tragic.
Right? Put the box with the Beanie Babies in, right? Get a little radio in there and put it under your kid's bed, like the cynical, hardened teenagers that they now are. Yeah. You go downstairs and just, please help me.
Yeah.
Please, I just need to see daylight. I can't, it's
there always. I'm Tilly Steele.
And I'm Helen Monk.
And this is Bitchin'.
I'm dyslexic. Yeah, why do you read the Wikipedia page? It's good to practice.
A podcast where every week we talk about a different person.
So how old was he when he first popped on the scene?
That's a great
question. If you say he was my age, I'm gonna fucking die.
And we veer wildly off track.
Pop that Prosec.
Available on all your podcast apps.
Can you not say in the advert?
Available on all your podcast platforms. Just search Bitchin' or Great Big Owl.
We'll see you there.
That was all right.
Please sit down, put your feet up and relax. Listen to these tales of funny people buying funny things from a company that doesn't pay its tax. Oh, yeah.
I like the storage basket. That presumably is for all the duplicates.
No. The storage basket is about me on a constant effort. You might see if you scroll down further.
More storage.
There's a it's storage and organization because I have a brain like a demented butterfly, and I think that if I have everything contained in storage, this is in fact going to. Do you see?
I know. Well, basically, what you're doing is you're buying an expensive, pretty bin.
Because I'm buying a. Yes.
It's what you do.
I think it was to put. No, they were to house the Beanie Boos. House the Beanie Boos when they were allowed out.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
So that was the Beanie Boos before they went to prison.
They're halcyon days before they were put into the Fed Max, Florence, Mexican. It's the equivalent of the maximum security jail, the awful one in Colorado. That's what they are in at the moment. That was Utopia, that pink expensive cloth bin.
They've escaped Alcatraz. They're on their way to freedom. Okay, good. Also, we've got 12 mini magnifying glasses. Good idea for party bag fillers there. Love that.
Okay. Children's parties has to be done. Yeah. And inevitably, there is just many. Have you done the children's party where you've done the...
Yeah, I mean, up there with the death of my father in terms of bad days.
Yeah. It's pretty. Yes.
Yeah.
And the constant. And also then you invariably find some parents who put a small live pony in each party bag trying to do it. King, oh, you've only got plastic magnifying glasses. Oh, that's such a shame. Because, we've put a West Wing of a library and also like a small pony and a horse. And, next year we're going to do for it.
So annoying to have that. People giving like 30 quid Legos in each thing.
Grotesque.
What are you doing?
Although now I feel a bit embarrassed about that because I know it's like plastic and
It's all right. It was 2014. It was a different time. Don't worry about the cancel police. All right. 2015 now. I mean, this is, again, it's Ronnie Ancona on a page right here. Look at this. It's delightful. So we've got a spiralizer, a tri-blade vegetable slicer. There was a bit of a spiralizer fad, wasn't there, at one stage? Didn't everyone go a bit crazy for spiralizers? I don't technically know what they are, if I'm honest.
Oh, I was spiralizing everything.
What did you do?
Even the cat was trying to run away. Everything. Okay, here. Come here. Everything was being spiralized. I went spiralized crazy.
But what do you do when you spiralize? Is it just a way of...
My hair in... Everything. No, spiralize. Oh, anything tastes good, even my cooking, once it's been put through a spiralizer.
Are you not a good cook? I've got lots of questions.
No, actually, I'm quite a good cook.
All right, okay, fine. Right.
She says, looking at her friend over there. Yeah.
The emaciated friends.
Oh, yeah, the emaciated friends hanging on to her. I did tend to spiralize everything because, as any of you who cook will know, it's amazing if you put a bit of spiralized courgette or whatever, or cucumber on top of some rancid culinary effort you've made, suddenly... You can present it.
You're basically decorating
gruel. A bit of wanky spiralized substance will make a dog's dinner look appetizing.
So it's just a way of slicing something, isn't it?
No, it's not a garnisher. Fine. I never think that. You're wrong.
I'd love it if you'd stormed out then. It's not a garnisher.
It's not a garnisher.
That was the end of the show. Take the mic off.
I've had enough. No, it's not a garnisher, but it is a very... but also, it makes your vegetables very small and taste like spaghetti, which is always a good thing.
Always good when your vegetables are small and taste like spaghetti. Okay, fine. You've got also on here essential sewing kit as well. Ghastly ghost bride, a kid's Halloween fancy dress. Costume.
Yes, this is made it myself.
Well, also, what's interesting about this is you bought this on the 27th of October, 2015. Flying close to the wind there, right? That's going to arrive within seconds of trick-or-treat time.
Oh, my God. Yes. No, I think that was not to do with Halloween. I think it was.
Right, cool.
But, Mummy, there's no sweets around.
Open it up.
It's the 15th of November. They've put everything away. Just go and try. Knock on the door. Don't be so conventional. Oh, but Mummy, do I have to walk around as a pumpkin again? In January? No, actually, there was a reason for that. I think it was... No, listen. Mm. You know, as a dad, there's the Halloween, and then there's the huge number of kind of school... Book Day, International Book Day, or International... And invariably, it would always reach my ears or my attention very, very last minute. Mm. I'd go, you know, oh, tomorrow we have to build, you know, we have to do the Manchurian Empire during the Japanese... What? What do you mean tomorrow?
It's Stone Age Day! Mean? Have this fucking rock Stone and go to
Age,
school.
It's Stone Age... Constantly. Now, it's weird because there seems to be so much more involvement these days. I mean, I know that when I was sort of went to school, I went to a school that made Pink Floyd's The Wall, you know, the video of the school in the wall, look like a Montessori. I mean, it was just some heinous sort of Scottish...
Oh, where did you go to school?
I went to school in Scottish state education in 1854.
Are you hearing the Scottish accent coming out there, by the way?
No,
the Scottish accent was appearing
pretty,
then.
Pretty intense.
Yeah.
And very, very, I mean, you know, very, very strict. I mean, it wasn't private school at all. Actually, funny enough, the French teacher who I was terrified of, who looked very French and sort of had a little black bob, she sort of emulated looking sort of very French, she insisted that you spoke French in a Scottish accent. It was during a particularly nationalistic time of the Scots, which, I mean, I do love Scotland. I have huge affection for Scotland, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting because now they're so open and everything. But if you had English blood in Scotland in those days, oh, my God. Yeah. And I had some English blood. But she insisted you spoke French. I would try and, you know, try and get this little bit of a French accent going, and she'd go, no, je m'appelle. Comment t'appelles-tu? Wachin est dans le jardin. And she was very petite, and she looked very French. She was called Mrs. Fraser. Anyway, so, yes, and I seem to remember, you know, just at that time, you'd come back, there'd be no, because parents didn't do things, did they?
No.
They didn't do things.
Mine didn't.
I mean, the summer holidays, the concession was, okay, we'll open the back door.
Yeah, don't die.
Don't
die. If you do die, get someone else to sort it out.
So I have been, you know, there's been a constant, you know, constant, I don't know, any mothers in the audience who would agree with me on that?
Mm. Yeah.
I'm coming across.
They're all
it's
too tired.
It's very bad.
2015, October 2015 now. Again, we've got some interesting bits here. 5th of October, Sylvanian family's bath and shower set. But also, I'm slightly obsessed with this. 5th of October again, Oz Naturals, the best vitamin C serum for your face.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it the best?
Now, this is quite interesting because I'm actually married to a doctor and I have, and before I was married to a doctor, and before I even knew him, I happened to do my student years with, like, live in a house with, like, about six doctors. Right. So I lived with them so long, I virtually have qualified myself. I mean, I could, in fact, it's a kind of like My Fair Lady Pygmalion experiment. They tried to pass me off as a doctor at a party, and I passed myself off as a junior registrar at St. Mary's. It was very impressive. Anyway, the reason I say that is that I am actually quite cynical because I'm with quite an old-fashioned doctor guy. You know, I mean, I'm quite cynical about a lot of things. When people are popping lots of vitamins, I sort of go, you know, oh, you know, you just pee them out. And I've always, you know, I'm slightly sort of old-fashioned just because I've sort of been, you know, made to think that way. However, I'm so superficial and clearly so vain that if anybody says to me, oh, take vitamin C, I go, no, you just pee it out, but put it on your face. I'm like, yes.
That makes perfect sense.
Yes.
It's logical.
I will literally, I'll put the fetus of a mushroom on my face if I think a wrinkle is going to disappear.
Right.
I'm totally just a horrible, what's the word I want? I'm just like a sitting audience duck.
Right.
For a fancy for serums.
Right. Okay. You love a serum. Is that
a serum. Singular of serum? No, I'm serum. Actually not. I'm not that bad. But I did hear that it brightened your skin.
Right. I mean, it's also this.
It was a long time ago.
When
was
it?
What year was it?
Oh, that was in 2015. And your skin's looking fantastic.
If I'd known that now, I mean, now I just think I know why it worked well. It was because I was 5 years younger.
That's true.
That's why it
worked.
That's
the best serum.
It was nothing to do with the serum.
Well, it says here that it's clinical strength 20% vitamin C. Basically, you're putting an orange on your face. You're basically Donald Trump, as far as I'm concerned. But there's quite a lot of questions about it. Have you seen this? The reason I asked about the viscosity of the product is because mine is surprisingly like water. So I'm wondering if it's faulty or fake. Answer, it is like water.
I
but
think
it works,
it's
though.
Fake. I'm 25. I mean,
do you have a lot of stationery?
Yes.
Yes.
But it's not used or done properly.
No. But this is the thing
it's
see...
It's the hope, isn't it?
A lot of my guests on this show have bought themselves things in that hope. Because a lot of comics and actors have got things like ADHD. You know, they are... And they're sort of trying
no
to
order. No idea what you're
talking
about.
They're trying to... Oh, no. I mean, I'm not at all suggesting you might have at all,
well,
Ronnie. Look at the photographer. But it's this attempt to buy things and fix that, and you see it all
well,
the time.
Well, Rory Bremner has ADHD, and he did a documentary about ADHD, and he said, I've worked with him quite, I've known him for so many years, and Rory said, Ronnie, do you remember that documentary that I made about ADHD? And I went, yes, it was very good, very good. He said, I met lots of people with really bad ADHD, but I've just realised, actually, you have the worst case. And I've known you for years. And I've taken the liberty of contacting the ADHD Society and putting your name forward, who are now citing me. I mean, bless them, I'm delighted, I'm honoured, but I haven't even been diagnosed.
You've been diagnosed by Rory Bremner?
Yes!
He was doing an impression of a doctor at the time.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So are you now...
Dr. Rory Bremner.
Dr. Rory Bremner. So now you are associated with the ADHD...
Yes, society. I must call them up, actually.
Again, it's on the list of things to do. Okay, yes. So 2018, yes. Loads of bits and bobs. I'm fascinated by this, the gold label horse supplement, comma, garlic. So this is May 2018, so obviously you have a horse.
No.
Cool. Cool. I mean, any explanation for this, or...?
I was looking after a friend's horse.
Okay. And what's wrong with sugar cubes, Ronnie?
Well, because, yes, it does look like a big tub of butter, doesn't it? It does look, poor horse. I mean, garlic. Oh, my God. Did I hate the horse that much?
I don't know.
I seem to remember it was very healthy for the horse, and I was told to buy it.
Right.
For the horse. But shortly afterwards, the horse did escape. It was running down the street with very bad breath. He was brought back, and he was very, very, very well loved. And now he's gone to the better. But, yeah. It did have a terrible halitosis problem after that supplement.
Okay, let's see what else we've got here. Oh, look at these!
Yes, November 2018.
Two things very close to each other. You bought The Artist Way, of course, yes. In discovering and recovering your creative self.
Yes.
The day before, you bought an Audrey Hepburn Holly Golightly Breakfast at Tiffany's costume.
Slightly tragic. That is because a very good friend of mine, who is extremely well connected, it was her a big birthday, and I was made to do the birthday speech, and she wanted me to... It was a fancy dress party, and she wanted me to come as Audrey Hepburn and start the speech off as Audrey Hepburn.
I see.
Although I didn't continue the whole speech as Audrey Hepburn.
Right.
And rather alarmingly, there were lots of comics at this party, so I just kept on looking around, and then, even though they're all friends of mine, you know... I saw Joe Brown going, oh, my God, are you going to do the speech? Rather you than me. And everybody was going, you know, so, you know, everybody was getting quietly pissed in the corner, and I had
comics
to
are tough
go
crowds
up.
As well.
Tough crowd. I know, tough crowd. So I did Audrey, of course, my darling angels, and... she didn't sound her best then, did she?
No, she sounded pretty good to me, to be honest. Spot on.
Can't tell you, spend a whole day doing things with you. Of course, I've never done it. Yeah, dear Audrey. And then I did the speech with where I managed to slag off the birthday girl inadvertently quite well.
Oh, wow,
was
what
quite
did you
embarrassing.
Do?
No, again, she said, please be very punchy, she said.
Oh, God. You went
so
too
I did,
spicy.
But no, I wasn't punchy. But again, it was a kind of, you know, she's very social, and she's...
What does that mean? Very social. What is that a euphemism for?
No,
what do
she's
you mean?
Wonderful, but she goes to openings and everything, and all the time. And you know, I sort of made some historical comparison that through history she'd have to be where it's at all
I
the
see.
Time, like at the Last Supper.
Right.
I've got to go. It's his Last Supper or the Ides of March. I've got to go. And as I was going through these, I realised, this is actually could be vaguely insulting, but people did laugh.
It's quite depressing when you have a comedy riff like that, which is brilliant, and you have like nine lined up in your head and you're sort of two in.
Two and in and
going,
you can't go. I know. And you've
like,
got
shit.
And you're like, no,
you've got
but
seven
damn.
More guys.
And then as a comic, I mean, you're actually thinking it's a toss-up between your friend's feelings and thinking, but this is a good one.
Yeah. The fifth one is good.
But you're going to lose her as a friend. No, I know. And that would be really sad. But wait till you hear about me and the Roman. Yeah, I know. It's a tricky wicket. No, but she's a very close friend of mine.
This is a very shit question, and I apologise in advance. But I don't really, because I'm interested. What is the impression which you enjoy doing the most? Is it Audrey?
Well, it depends time. I mean, I'm not doing that many impressions at the moment, really, per se. So I did do, that's 2 years ago, I was doing masses of impressions because I was asked, specifically asked to do, because people often ask, who are you doing at the moment? Mm. And that's, you know, unless you actually specifically doing something that you need impressions for, that would make you a real sad fucker that you go, oh, now which C-list celebrity shall I learn today? You know, that is, you can't go down that route.
Right.
However, I do love doing, my favourite at the moment is Olivia Colman. And I do teach actresses how to do other impressions as well, and other actresses. So I inadvertently end up deconstructing what they do. So,
please,
I'll give you an example.
This is so delicious. I'm so happy.
You know, I'll go over before. So, so, Olivia Colman only ever says things in 5 words. Last word, very quick. Very quick. So she says everything in 5 words. Last word, very quick. And also, I'm very versatile. I can play the queen. And also, I'm a detective. Philip, look after the corgis. Body on the beach. So you notice, I love Olivia Colman. She's brilliant. I mean, she's a national treasure. So everybody loves her. So it's not, although I did have a bit too much to drink at a party recently and did it in front of her agent.
Oh, who, wow.
Yes, yes. Olivia Colman. Yes. She said, oh, well, maybe I could use you if she's not available. No, she's lovely, actually. Olivia Colman's agent is adorable as well. But, you know, it's not an insult. It's just that you invariably watch what people are doing, you know, and it's just sort of staccato, you know, very staccato. And you pick up, you know, like that, very quick, very quick. This way. Now I can't stop.
It's such a talent. It's such a talent.
It's not a great talent,
it
Tom.
It is. It's incredible.
At the scene of an accident, there's someone dying. Oh, let me through. I can do a funny voice.
You can do it. You've already said you're an impression of a doctor. You've lived with a doctor. You could turn up and say, it's fine, stand up.
Yes, a bogus impression. I could, if I carried that through, I could kill someone. I would just give them spiralised garlics up the mitts.
I know how to make a horse bolt. I just think it's genius. It's incredible. It's incredible. Okay, this is good. This is good as well. 23rd of October, 2019. Of course, you've bought the Body Socks fried egg costume adults.
Yes, it was waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's inevitable. Do you want to tell us exactly what's going on here?
Inevitable. It's because I like to go to work in an egg, as opposed to on an egg. Oh dear! I think this one might get banned for some strange reason.
Generally, as a rule, the more I enjoy them, the worse the episodes are. In which case, this is awful. This episode.
Egg costume. Actually, it wasn't just an egg. It was my daughter. I couldn't get the junior egg version, so I had to go for the full fried version. But she was, and her friend was going part of a full English breakfast.
Oh, good.
As a fancy dress thing.
Oh, so good.
Typically my Halloween, I think it was in the middle of June, but yes, she was going as a full English breakfast.
You do
with
always
her friends.
Buy costumes in October. There you are. This is the egg costume.
I feel bad actually because I felt that I always should make all of them, and I did make some, but I, you know, the egg was. If she'd have asked for a hard boiled egg, that would have been easier. But as she wanted full English, she wanted a fried egg. I couldn't cope with that one.
Yeah, and they're quite right too. I think, you know, it wouldn't be this podcast if there wasn't always a little peppering, a little smattering of guilt.
Yeah.
When you go
absolutely.
Through it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
of
natural.
Course.
Also, there's a great review here. There's a few of the reviews are really interesting. This is a good one from Alice Aindo. 5 stars, great outfit. We all brought them for a hen do in Budapest. We all wore eggs and the bride to be wore a hen outfit. That's really good. Although she does,
I love this. Just need to find another excuse to dress as an egg now.
that is the glaring problem.
That's when you have a costume. This is so random.
Yeah,
Budapest.
Yes.
I want to aspiring to be an egg again.
Yes.
I mean,
there's loads going on here.
There's loads going on.
Anyway, that is Alice's hen do there that she went on in Budapest. Then we go into August 2020. So we're in lockdown now as we get towards the end of this, by the way. And you have bought again. The reason the audience are laughing there, dear listener, is that she's bought not one, but two copies of a book called How to Survive Your Mother.
I did mean to buy two copies this occasion.
Explain.
Okay. So this book, is actually written by a friend of mine, dear friend of mine. He used to do, you might know him, he was a reporter on, he did lots of building programs of like House of Horror buildings. He's a very good reporter actually. And he had the most extraordinary childhood. I mean, it was extraordinary. And he wrote this book in about 2006, and it became a Sunday Times bestseller, actually. And it was about him investigating, going back and finding out about his mother, who was this larger-than-life character, very dominant, very funny, but very sort of eclectic, mad, eccentric, outrageous. Mm-hmm. And you read this book and you think, this can't be true. It's just so phenomenal. And she used to run old people's homes where she used to rip off the residents. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it was all quite... And ultimately, she was a bit of a criminal. And right. He sort of discovered this. And she started off the first... but she was incredibly forward-thinking, actually. She started off the first gay hotel in down in Epsom. Wow. On a suburban street.
Wow.
What was it called? It was called the Rain, the Sunset Lounge or something. Anyway, it's an extraordinary book. And I actually have started a production company with Sally Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually bought the option on this because we want to make it into a TV show.
Okay. Right.
Because and whether I hope it will make or a film, because it is just an extraordinary story.
Right. Fine. Okay, that is a legitimate excuse for buying two copies. Finally.
Yes.
That sounds fascinating. All right, that's How to Survive Your Mother by Jonathan Maitland.
Now I've realised why I've got such a big mortgage, because for 15 years I've been buying two copies of everything on Amazon. No wonder I haven't got any money.
And then I'm delighted with the next purchase. Ladies and gentlemen, on My Mate Bought a Toaster, I'm thrilled to say that My Mate Bought a Toaster! Hey! The Duelit! Architect, you've gone for a four slicer here.
Oh, yes.
Extra wide slot peak. I like a slot peak. Sounds like a slightly sexy toaster.
Oh, yes. I preempted. It was basically, I was aspiring to be asked on this podcast.
Mm-hmm, good.
And I thought, the other guests have bought tiny little toasters. Oh, no. I'm going to have the Dulux Duelit. Brush stainless steel one.
Yeah. It's a pretty impressive toaster, that. It's a lovely four slot. I mean, the problem we've had whenever we've had people who've bought toasters on the show before, I think you're about the fourth or fifth person to do it, is it's very little to talk about.
Well, actually, there is, I mean, I had one of these toasters before and it broke. And again.
No, we'll try and talk about toasters. Okay, yeah, good.
No, let's not talk about toasters.
No, I'm happy to. Because what often happens.
Don't talk about toasters, okay? Sorry.
Yeah, but what often happens is that. Two of them break. This is what's happened with our toaster for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Half the toaster's down, it's gone.
Yeah.
But we've got two still working, so we're just sort of flying on one wing.
I know what you mean about the toaster thing. I mean, I have verbal diarrhea and I don't know even what to say to that.
even me. Right, okay, fine. And then we're getting towards the end, okay?
Right.
Ronnie Ancona, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show in front of this live audience of 300 people here at the London Podcast Festival. So
don't say that, because if you say 300, they're going to go, God, she's not much value for money. I can hear 300 people laughing.
I know, I'll layer them up, it'll be fine. I won't, I've got a fucking clue how to do that. So look, here's one of the final things.
Yes.
Ronnie Ancona. And... I don't know, maybe this, again, has a kind of element of you marshalling. We talked about, you know, putting your Beanie Babies into boxes earlier on and marshalling thoughts. And maybe if these things all focus and all these ideas and your incredibly brilliant brain, and I know you don't like compliments, but it's true, you could write a movie in 21 days, hence why you've bought Vicky King's How to Write a Movie in 21 Days, which you bought, I must add... 16th of August 2021, nearly exactly 21 days ago.
It's not finished. It's not finished. It's a trick. This is because Sally and I are writing a couple of films together, and there's a film that we've been literally commissioned to write, and it's not the film that we would. It's not our first film we would have written. Do you know what I mean? It's not. I mean, she's actually a very good screenwriter, but it's not the film that we would have written. And we've had huge problems with this. And we have gone round the houses and this plot keeps on changing. And every we keep on coming up with new, because there's, I don't know, you're a writer and you know what it's like. There are all sorts of different screenwriters' Bibles.
Mm-hmm. Sid Field.
There's Sid Field. There's Blake's the How to Hang a Cat.
Yes.
Don't hang the cat. Mm-hmm. Please don't hang the cat. No, save the cat. Save the cat. Save
the cat.
That's a serious one called Save the Cat.
Yeah.
The Robert McKee. They go on and on and on.
Story,
and they're
yes.
very and they're. Very, it's very, very disciplined. There's yeah. no point you just sitting there and writing, you know, you've got your midpoints and you've got your, you know, your, it's just very sort of complex.
Inciting
and I'm
incidents.
Really, I'm inciting incidents. Mm. I'm a sketch writer, really. I mean, that's what I cut my teeth on is gag writing and sketch writing. So I'm not, you know, so it can be quite torturous. And I'm always on the lookout for a book that goes... that basically says what I want it to say, which is just write anything. It'll be all right. The editor will work it out in the end. The end.
That's what editors are for.
That's what editors are for. But this is quite a good one, actually. But, of course, the 21 days, I think, is basically a marketing tool.
Right. No.
Yes.
Listen, Renee Ancona, thank you so much for coming on to My Mate Bought a Toaster. We've all learnt... a lot about life, about you, about what genius you are. And we've all also learned that Beanie Boos are the most horrifying things ever seen. Put them back in the box. Ladies and gentlemen, Ronnie Ancona! Yeah.
Hey. I want to say no more. If you love me, really, baby, don't walk out that back door.
Ronnie Ancona, complete. Finally, we found out the truth about Ronnie Ancona, and it's that she likes Beanie Boos and garlicky horses. Wasn't she great? I love her. So, there you are then. That's today's episode done. Next week, what with it being quite near Halloween, I have got the very brilliant Yvette Fielding coming on the show off of Most Haunted. And guess what we talk about for most of it? Just talk about ghosts. And to be honest, I should just do a spin-off podcast about ghosts because it's just my favourite topic. I don't believe in them, but I just like listening to people tell spooky stories. Oh, it's brilliant. Anyway, Yvette Fielding is my guest next week, and it is a really, really, really fun, funny, interesting episode. Loads of revelations from Yvette Fielding and one or two hauntings as well. Oh, God, what's that knocking noise? Oh, my God. They're coming through. I need a spirit guide. And by the way, that whole Yvette Fielding episode is up now at patreon.com/toasterpod. Patreon.com/toasterpod. I should do the stings myself. Maybe not. Yeah, patreon.com/toasterpod, and you can listen to Yvette Fielding now, from as little as £3. Just £3, and you get all these episodes. Oh my God, you lucky, lucky things. Head over to patreon.com/toasterpod. Ta-ra. Oh, baby,
GreatBigOwl.com. Love football? Can't wait for the season to hit its stride? Salivate over Super Sunday? Well, this podcast is probably not for you. If, however, you're tired of the hype, but part of you still loves the game, you could try the famous sloping pitch from Great Big Owl. With Chris England, Nick Hancock and guests. The famous sloping pitch. It's a podcast about football. Not market traders.